Amen, amen. How many of y'all hit the snooze more than one time this morning? I know I did. And then I ended up mopping at church. Y'all see that? I was doing it, and my wife had to come show me how to do it. I didn't know exactly how to handle that. But we're grateful for this temporary baptistry. I'll be glad when we get back to our other one. February, we saw nobody baptized. And I don't remember a month that I've been your pastor that we didn't see somebody baptized. And I'll just tell you, you said, well, preacher, that bothered you because we didn't have baptisms? It did. It's just, I can't be satisfied if we're not seeing people saved. And so Joy and I begin praying. And Jason and others, we just talked about it a couple times in staff meeting. But we were on the way to Texas to my retreat center that is one of my favorite places in the world. And we were talking about it. I mean, it was just, Lord, do something. And I don't know if you noticed, last week we baptized. Had two here. We had two scheduled for the 11 o'clock service. That's going to 3 because I had a conversation while Joy was making that announcement, or actually right after our baptism here, that somebody was led to the Lord that we didn't know was going to be here, but they're going to be here today. They want to be baptized, and so we're ready. Maybe you're sitting here today. I've never done this in my life. Maybe you're sitting here today. You know you've given your life to Christ, and you say, man, I just need to be baptized. I don't have any dry clothes for you, but we can find you a towel or something, and we can save you to the end of the next service if you want to. The water's there. You need to make that straight. You need to make that straight. Or maybe just say, yeah, I need to be baptized, but I'll wait till next week when I can bring back some dry clothes. That's fine, too. But however you want to be obedient, we want to help you be obedient. I don't do a lot of announcements, but this one I'm excited about, so I'm going to mention it real quickly. I'm excited about everything that goes on here. But March the 28th is Palm Sunday. And last year, everything from here on out for the next 2 months got canceled last year. Right? Well, this was our last Sunday. This is a year ago. A year ago today was our last Sunday. I looked at Charlie because Charlie got saved that Sunday a year ago today. But he at least got right with Jesus. He might have already been saved, but something clicked that just stuck. And so it's been good. But everything got canceled. So I'm really excited about what comes from now till the rest of the year because I think we're going to have it. Lord willing, we're going to have it. But on the Palm Sunday, we'll have a great day celebrating as we look to the resurrection, the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. But then we're going to have our Easter egg hunt for the kids outside or inside of or something. We're going to have something for the kids, rain or shine, and then we're going to have a fellowship meal together. Here's the deal. We're going to try to spread the tables out, and if you feel like you need to socially distance from other people, sit at a table with just your family. If you feel a little bit vulnerable, haven't had your vaccines, we understand if you don't stay. We're going to try to set tables out here just to spread things out as best we can, but we're going to fellowship together as a church family over food. We're Baptists, and we haven't done it in a long time, and we need to do it, all right? And so make plans for the 28th. Don't miss next Sunday or any other Sunday, but I'm excited about just being able to get done preaching and just, my spiritual gift is hanging out. And so I'm looking forward to some hanging out. We hadn't been able to do that much as a church family. So Ephesians chapter 3, 17 through 21. This is Paul having a spell, all right? Now, maybe y'all a bunch of Baptists. Hold on, let me explain this to you. If you got some Pentecostal background, you know what I'm talking about. But this is Paul having a happy moment. This is Paul getting overwhelmed by the glory of God and the power of God and the fullness of God and the love of God. This is Paul probably acting in a way that makes most of y'all Baptists nervous, all right? But he cannot get over what he's just written about in chapters 1 and 2 and the first part of 3. And so he says, for this reason, chapter 3, beginning there in verse 17, he says, for this reason, and he begins to have a response to what he's already talked about. He begins to go into a prayer that really is a doxology, a word of glory, a word of praise is what doxology means. And he's just really just giving praise to God in response to what he's already written. And in this section, inspired, I believe, by the Holy Spirit of God to write these words down, but he tries to just use as many words as he possibly can to help us begin to start to have a possibility of maybe understanding a little bit of how glorious our God is. That's a lot of words. That makes sense? So listen to what he says, the response. For this reason, listen, he's looking back to Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. And which you once walked, following the course of the world and following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We were what? Depraved. We were dead. We were doomed. But God. But God. In chapter 2, verse 4, it's but God. In chapter 2, verse 13, it's but now in Christ Jesus. We deserve death. We deserve separation. We deserve doom. We deserve the wrath of God. But God, who loved us, he saved us even though we were dead. He lifts us up. He makes us joint heirs with Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, we are children of God. We are bought with a price. And Paul says in response to this, for this reason. And then he begins his prayer. And look there in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. And then he gives the request, verses 16 through 19. From whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me just kind of walk you through these requests. See, first he prays that we'd be strengthened with power. Really, the idea there is to be empowered with power. He uses a lot of redundancy and a lot of extra words just to try to, Paul is trying to get across his point that we need to grasp how amazing our God is and what he has done. Don't miss what God has done is what Paul is screaming to us. I'm trying not to scream, but I'm just so excited about what God is saying in this text. Be strengthened by his power. How? Through his Spirit. Rooted and grounded in love. I like the way that Jesus illustrates these two important traits that were rooted. Jesus was sharing a parable in Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower, and the sower would sow his seeds on different types of soils, and Jesus made many points in that parable. One of them is that you gotta have some roots. You gotta be rooted in Christ. It can't be just some emotional experience or some one-time thing. It's got to be real, and it's got to be empowered by the Spirit of God that digs down and takes some roots. Here's what he said about not having any roots. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and they devoured them. They didn't even set. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. What kind of trees you want in your yard this hurricane season? Those with deep and wide roots, or those that you're going to worry about whether they're going to fall? I'm sorry, I don't mean to bring up any bad memories. I'm just saying. What kind of Christian do you want to be? One that just kind of skims along the surface? Life will wear you out. It will burn you up. But rooted in Christ Jesus. He says rooted and grounded. Jesus gave us a good illustration on this too. Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Everyone who then, Jesus is saying, hears these words of mine. He's finishing up the Sermon on the Mount right here. And does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded, grounded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Can I just show you here? The rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and the storms come on both houses. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The hard times come on all of us. My friends, I hate to tell you this. If you have not yet figured it out, that is what we call life. But the difference is, where's your grounding? What's your foundation? Jesus says, if your foundation is built upon him, if you hear his words and do what he said, that all these storms are coming. I wish I had better news than that as far as the storms. All these storms are coming, whether you know Jesus or not, they're coming. We can testify, right?
Amen.
I mean, 2020. Yeah. I mean, the last year, 2021's kind of trying to show itself too. That's all right. Is your house built on the rock? Are you rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus? Then he starts to talk about the width, the length, the depth, and the height of his love, his power, his fullness. It's kind of hard for me to figure out which one he's talking about. I think he's just talking about himself, how wide he is, how deep he is, how high he is, how long he is. Our God is omnipresent. Our God is omnipotent. That means he's everywhere and he's all powerful. He's omniscient. He knows all things. We serve a mighty God. But I want to think about these directions a little bit. What about his width? What does he do for us? Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. How long is he? Oh, come on now. You all right? I wish I wasn't tied to this little bitty stage. If I jump, DJ, catch me, all right? I'm just saying. This is good stuff. How long is he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have how long a life? Everlasting life, eternal life. That's how long our God is and his gospel is. How deep is he? How deep is what he's done for us? Micah 7:19, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread on our iniquities underfoot. You will cast out our sins into the depths of the sea. How high is he? Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How high is he? He's high enough to come up out of the grave, ascend into heaven, sit at the right hand of the Father, and intercede for you and I. Look what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? You see, the one that condemns us, who is able to condemn us, is the same one who died in our place. We kind of have an inside track. On the one that can bring judgment, he's the very one that has paid the price for us to be made right with him. It was the one who condemns. Christ Jesus is the one who condemns, but also is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He's also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Amen. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, verse 19. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. It seems like exaggeration, but it's not. Paul, even inspired by the Holy Spirit, cannot quite explain rightly how great the love God has for us really is. It's beyond our vocabulary. It's beyond our understanding. But, oh, can I tell you this? You can get enough of it to know that every once in a while, even as a Baptist, you ought to have a spell. Amen. Glory. Y'all ain't quite there yet. DJ's there. Y'all right now. Y'all need to catch up. Have you thought about it? How great his love is. I look around this audience and I've learned more and more of your stories, some of them by you sharing with them, just sitting down together. And some of you, when you take our membership class, I ask you to write it out or come by my office and share it. And some of you send me the emails. And some of you, I've been here long enough for 2 years, I've seen some of the journey you've gone through, and life is hard. Sometimes it's heartbreaking, but please, hang on to the reality. Our God is good, and he's got you, and he's not done with you, and his love surpasses our knowledge. We cannot understand completely. As much as I recognize and understand his love for me, it goes so far beyond what I can even recognize. Not because of things I've done, not because there's anything good in me, but because of who he is. Let me show you a couple others. 2 Corinthians 3:10, it talks about God's incomparable glory. 2 Corinthians 9:14 talks about God's surpassing grace. Ephesians 1:19 talks about his immeasurable greatness of his power. Ephesians 2:7 talks about the immeasurable riches of his grace. Philippians 4:7 talks about the peace that surpasses all understanding. Why did Paul have to continually use these types of explanations? Because we cannot fully comprehend how amazing our God's love, our God's grace, our God's peace is. Oh, but we can walk in it. And I'll tell you this, I know more of it now at almost 48 years old than I did 40 years. Praise the Lord Jesus. It'll be 40 years since I got saved on June 14th this year. It'll be 30 years since I graduated high school. I know more now than I did then. I'll know more of his love tomorrow than I do today. But oh, there's coming a day, if you're a child of God, that you're going to know it in its fullness. And there'll be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. There will be no more disappointment. You see, some of you know what I'm talking about. This is one of those things, I can't explain it to you. You gotta know it yourself. I wish I could make it happen for you. I promise you, if I could make you get what God's put in me this week and the last few weeks thinking about this message, I would make sure you had it. And man, we'd have us a spell up in here. All y'all would be shouting. I'm just telling you, if I could just help your heart to begin to comprehend, to start to understand how great God's grace and love for you is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's kind of like, how many of y'all been to Grand Canyon? Anybody been to Grand Canyon? All of you have seen pictures of the Grand Canyon. If I tried to explain to you the grandeur of the Grand Canyon, you might get a little bit of it. You might begin to start to understand. If I put a big, I should have done this, but if I had to put a big picture up on the screen, that shows a little bit more. But if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Words and pictures don't capture it. But when you're standing in the midst of the Grand Canyon, you start to begin to understand how grand it is. You know what I'm talking about? Are you standing in the presence of God in your life? That's what Paul wants us to see. Because of what he's done, oh, why in the world would you not respond by just praising him for who he is and his greatness. That's his request. That you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and then that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here we see a reference of being filled with the fullness of God pertaining to the Father. Chapter 4, verse 13, he's going to talk about the fullness of Christ pertaining to the Son. In chapter 5, verse 18, he's going to talk about the fullness of the Spirit, the Godhead. God wants us, and Paul, inspired by God, is telling us, be filled with the Godhead of the Trinity that we serve. And here's the deal. Here's what I found out about filling. The more I'm filled with Jesus, the less room there is for Tommy. The more I'm filled with the things of God, the less I act like me. Man, I wish I didn't act like me as much. You say, what are you talking about? You're you. I wish I acted like Jesus more. More Jesus. More Jesus. That my life would cry out. We're in the office this week, and the guys were on this video of some formerly prominent preachers. One is still fairly prominent, and the other two have kind of fallen by the wayside. If I named their names, you might would know them. They had very large and loud ministries, but they were talking about a particular subject, and the reality was you could see the pride in two of them. And it talking about my ministry, my influence, my platform, my mission. I'm like, man, you start talking about I and my, you're in trouble. And both of them have fallen. What they even to the point they were discussing a theological issue about ecclesiology and polity, how to do church is really, that's just big words for how to do church. And one guy that I would agree with was sharing his opinion, and the other two guys said, well, we're going to listen to you, but we'll tell you why you're wrong here in a minute. This arrogance. We have no place to walk in arrogance. Because outside of Christ, listen, may our heart cry the same way that John the Baptist cried when he saw Jesus and he saw the ministry of Jesus. In John chapter 3, verse 30, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, your pastor's more godly when he talks more about Jesus than he does himself.
Right.
You'll be more godly when you talk more about Christ and God than you do yourself. Whatever measure God gives us, whatever ministry he grants to us, it is to proclaim his name, his mission, his glory, not our own, that we might be filled with God. Oh, that he'd fill us and squeeze all of us out and it just be full of Jesus. So we see the response, we see the requests, and then we hear a final reminder before Paul kind of closes out this praise, this prayer of praise, this doxology. Verse 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think. According to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen to what he's saying now. Listen to it again. Now to him. To who? To this God he's been talking about the whole time. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than what you would ask or even think. According to the power, through what power? According to the power at work within us. I mean, it's one thing to think about how powerful our God is, but he says that how God's going to accomplish it is through the power at work within his people, within us. For what cause? For his glory. To him be glory. Where? In the church. Now listen, I'm going to hit this, and I don't want you to get mad, but if you get mad, I hope at some point you'll get glad, all right? I'm just saying. I have a hard time believing that somebody is walking right with God if they're not walking right in his church. Now, it ain't got to be east, but it ought to be somewhere, because that's how God's made you. And that's how God established his church. He didn't establish some little group over here, some little group over there. He established his church. And so, listen, here's the deal. Wherever God might take you, and this might be a little more for some of my military crowd, because y'all going to move a lot more than the rest of us. You might find yourself someplace where you can't find a church that even decently preaches the word. And so what you need to do, you need to start you a church that will preach the word, and you need to look to what the scripture says a church should be and be a church. His church. What did God say? He would build his what? His church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now, I know that talks on some universal levels, but you read the New Testament, and most of the time, over 93% of the time, it's talking about a local gathered body of believers. In what place is church? Through what person? In Christ Jesus. Have you started seeing that phrase, right? I told you, be circling it throughout the whole book of Ephesians. It's in Christ Jesus. For how long? To all generations, forever and ever. And amen. Now let me give you a little lesson on amen. There's a right time and a wrong time to say amen. I ain't heard a wrong time yet today, so I'm glad, because I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But what amen means is so be it, may it be. And I would just say my favorite one, when I'm listening to preaching, I normally just say, come on, come on, come on, come on. What do I mean? Let it happen. What he said, come on, let it be. Now listen, if I were to say something, don't say amen right here, okay? Hold your amen. If I say, man, there's billions of people around the world that are dying and going to hell unless they hear about Jesus, that's not a place to say amen. That's a place to say, woe is me. But if I said something like, well, God's not done yet, and he can save billions of people before it's time, that's a place. Amen. You see the difference? When we say amen, we want it to happen. When we say, when the preacher says something we don't want to happen, nobody's going to fuss at you. I'm not going to call you out in front of everybody, but it's just not the time to say amen, all right? There's a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners out here that deserve God's judgment. That's not something to amen. Jesus died for all of us so we don't have to receive his judgment. That's something to amen and to confirm. Amen? You see? You got it?
Amen.
Do you see God in this text? Are you understanding how Paul is doing all he can with the words that are available to him through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help us begin to understand how amazing our God is? Will you follow him?
Come on.
I'm not talking about here or there or every once in a while. I'm not talking about Vernon Parish follow. I'm not talking about Bible Belt follow. I'm not talking about American Christianity. I'm talking about lay down everything you got and follow Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he's worthy.
He is. Amen.
Because he's worthy.
Yes, sir.
That we'd be so full of him. And there's not much room for Tommy. I'll tell you what, man. Y'all would have an amazing pastor if he was so full of Jesus, there's no room for Tommy. You got a slightly above average pastor right now because there's a lot of Jesus and not as much Tommy, but y'all just need to pray that all the Tommy gets squeezed out. Can I just tell you that now, to him who is able, to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You know what? Those things you thought about that would be really cool if that were to happen? He's able to do far more abundantly than what you even thought about. I don't know about you, but I pray that you would join me in just desiring that we would see a glimpse of what that looks like. In his church, in this community, in this region, in our nation, and in the nations. That maybe we would long for that more than we long for things that don't matter near as much. And I'm not going to name any. The things that you're chasing after and the things that I chase after. But let God speak them to your heart. And just recognize, Lord, it doesn't mean you have to lay down your hobbies. It doesn't mean you have to lay down your passions. It doesn't mean you have to lay down things you enjoy. Just make sure they stay in the right place. And know they don't matter near as much as what God's called us to do. And here's the deal. I would say God's probably gifted you with some of those talents and gifted you with some of those hobbies and gifted you with some of those passions so that you could use them for his glory. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. Now it ain't about us, it's about the Spirit that dwells in us, but at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'm telling you, if you hadn't gotten it yet, just keep reading those five verses until you get it. Keep reading the first three chapters until you understand how great a God we serve. So here's the invitation. What would God have us do in response to who he is? What would God have you do in response to who he is? I'm going to be right here at the front. I'll have my mask on so you don't have to worry about getting into my circle, me getting in your circle. You don't have to put yours on. I'm good. It'll be all right. Be pastors over here in the room to my left, your right, if you would rather go off to the side and talk to somebody. Most likely, if you're here, you know somebody here already. Maybe you just need to go to a man or woman of God you know walks with Jesus, and y'all just need to deal with some things. Maybe there's a burden on your heart that's just heavy, and you just want us pastors to come alongside of you and pray with that. Maybe there's never been a time when you surrendered to Jesus, and I assure you, you need to nail that down. Yes, you're here right now. You're breathing right now. But you're not promised tomorrow. None of us are promised this afternoon. I got plans this afternoon. We're going to go to the batting cages, and I'm going to do some mechanical work. If you don't know what that means, ask me after church. I don't know if I need to say it from the pulpit. It's not bad. It's just, you know. Mechanical work for me is put a rear end in my recliner, y'all, all right? Some of y'all are thinking it was. Because I've been at a ball field every night this week except Wednesday, and then I was here, right? I'm going to go home. You need me today, you can come sit in the recliner next to me, all right? Y'all good? I got plans, but I don't know if we'll see this afternoon. Here's the question. What would God have you do with him right now? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask, have your way as we respond to your word. There are men, women, boys, and girls in a crowd this size that have never received Christ. I pray that as soon as we begin to sing that, Lord, walking this aisle will not save them any more than baptism saves us, but Lord, it will help them enter into a conversation that we will show them what the Word says you have already done, that they could be saved. And so, Lord, whether it's in this time of response that they come, or if it's in the room to my left or right that they come, or if it's in the guest reception that they come, or if it's a phone call later this week that they come, however you would have them come, Lord, I pray they would go ahead and settle it now. But God, I pray you draw them to yourself. That they would recognize that like every single one of us, we are sinners. It separates us from God, but But God sent his son Jesus to be crucified as the perfect sacrifice, to be buried, and then on that third day to be raised from the grave to give us victory over sin, death, and the grave in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, let us not leave this place without that being settled. And for the rest of us, Lord, we've been reminded that life is hard, life is difficult, life has trials. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The storms come on every life that walks this earth. But, Lord, may we be rooted and grounded on Christ. Lord, whatever you need to take away, take it away. Yes. Whatever you need to add, add it. Whatever needs to be kept the same or improved, do that. Whatever needs to be changed, do that. Lord, whatever you need to do in us, we ask that you can do it so that you can do through us whatever you desire to do for your glory. Lord, help us as we respond to your word to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.